Romans chapter 9, for the sake of if you're writing this down, the text is actually verse 14 through 21, and we'll get to that at end of the message. Is there unrighteousness with God? And so I ask you, as I always do, is there unrighteousness with God? Now, the answer to the natural man, I'm going to tell you, and probably most evangelicals, is yes. I mean, if they'd be honest, you see. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. If God was preached as he is, and this is, and he seldom is, because I have been around the globe and heard preaching. I've heard preachers 3, 4, 5 times a week for months and years. And very seldom have I heard God preached as he is. I've heard him preached as man would have him be. You know? Always as man would have him be. And if you'd preach him as he is, do you know why they don't do that? They wouldn't have it. It's why the governments don't tell people the truth. You think, man, why don't I just prayed for righteous judgment? They don't want the truth. I've tried nothing but I don't lie to people, but I don't tell them everything I know in every situation. And I'm going to tell you that if I did, and I have done that in a few cases in sales and marketing, I lost the sale. They didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear, you know, you really can't afford this new vehicle. And they couldn't. It was, a matter of fact, in certain instances, I've seen them make a purchase that was so foolish that a blind man could see it. Like, are you kidding me? You would take on this debt in this situation? It'd be foolishness. And so they don't, few if any, preach him as he is, because the people won't have it. I couldn't be more serious. It's because man, now listen, it's because man will not accept God. The natural man can't. He will not accept God. Adam didn't. Did you ever think about that? Isn't that interesting? Do you know how that is? Well, he disobeyed him. If he'd accepted him, he wouldn't have disobeyed him. He didn't accept. God said, don't. And he did. You see? And you and I inherited that nature. Now, I'll give you a simple, natural example. And I could pick out many that I'm not picking on women. But if you go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Amen. Yeah, the men say amen. I could go further. Now you show me the first woman that does that. I've never seen one. I'm married to a good one. She did. You think about it. He said, as unto the Lord. Or maybe they don't submit to the Lord. I don't know. But he said, as unto the Lord. You see? We're as gods, knowing good and evil. And the issue is, one of the things that'll get you in a lot of trouble preaching, the sovereignty of God. It's sovereignty. It's a sovereign issue. Who is the sovereign? And there are a lot of definitions concerning sovereignty. You might have some. I'd like to hear them. Anybody got anything that just come to the top of your head concerning sovereign, the sovereignty? ruler over the land, okay? Any of you other men, anything to do with sovereign? The sovereign.
Supreme authority.
Supreme authority, okay? Supreme authority. And those are all, they're all in the, if you were going to define sovereignty. But I found a word that may surprise you. And when I saw this word, I knew that it was the most perfect definition for sovereignty. Independent. Now think about that. It might surprise you. Independent. Being completely independent. Do you know any human on earth that's completely independent? The president's not. The king is not. The richest man is not. You see? That's sovereign. Independent. Ever attempted to be completely independent? You can't. We all depend upon something for our being and our welfare. You see? God doesn't. And he's the only entity that does not require one thing to be. He's totally independent. It's impossible for all but one. To be independent is a position that but one may enjoy. You can't have two independent. Because one's dependent upon the other. You see? You think about that. As I've said, no two things in existence are equal or independent. All sovereignty on earth has a limited sphere. It's said that in democracy, that it's the people's will that's sovereign. I had a talk with Melissa about words this morning. You see, I'm the guy that listens. You may think I don't, but I do. And I'm the guy, if I'm watching something on a screen or something, I play it back. I said, what did he say? Well, it's not important. Yes, it's important. I want to hear exactly what he said and how he said it. That's why I'm looking at two people I have the hardest time in the world communicating with, and been married to one of them over 35 years. Now, they can communicate. And we all speak the same language. But it doesn't compute the same way, you see, that the people's will is sovereign. How ridiculous. I'm certain the only true sovereign might laugh at such. Or they said, I always like this, you know, that old gospel song, if you want to make God laugh, make plans, you see. Or at any other attempt at such independence. You know, Lucifer got the wild idea, and I confess to you, it's one of the things I don't understand, may not even know it when I get to heaven, that he might somehow be sovereign. Or you might say, what did he want to be? Independent. Okay? You think the United States is independent? Boy, did we ever get independent when we left old King George. You see? Or Texas? We just found out how independent we are, didn't we? You see? And he passed that lunacy. Lucifer passed that lunacy onto you and I. Excuse me. If you want to know how sovereign you are, go visit a graveyard, okay? Or go visit a hospital or a nursing home. Better yet, you want to look in the mirror? You want to know how sovereign you are? Go visit a prison or a jail. And there you shall mirror your sovereignty. There be but one sovereign. Who is he? Moses asked him, who are you? Moses said, and you remember what he said? I am. There be but one. I am. Now that we perhaps have some understanding of sovereignty, we can go back to our original premise. Is there unrighteousness with God? You see. We see that it's an impossibility as he is independent. True independent. The only independent. And as such, everything he does is right, righteous. Right? Because it doesn't depend on anything. It doesn't depend on anyone else. He is the only true sovereign. And there's nothing relative to his being. Because he's independent, sovereign, one. I am God. So, who are you going to love? Jacob. Great. Perfect choice. Great choice. Who are you going to hate? Esau. Great. Perfect. Perfect choice. You see? Any particular reason? Excuse me? Now you think about that because you got, those of you listening, you had an opportunity to raise youngins. You think about that. Excuse me, young man? You see? Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. You don't need a reason. Boy, they hate that. He hates it. He is going to hate it. And there's two in here that are going to hate it if they don't already. You see? If God needed any reason other than his good pleasure, he wouldn't be God and he wouldn't be independent. Folks, this is important. It's the attribute of God's who God is. And if you don't understand this God, you don't even know God. You don't even know anything of him. Our text, Romans 9, is the best explanation of God in all of Scripture, and it's the least preached of it. I've heard this preached less, this in 1 John chapter 3, less than anything else in Scripture. They can't. They'd have to tell the truth, you see, except for perhaps two words. If you really want to know about God, I am. Two words, I am. Now let's look at the text. Verse 14 through verse 21. What shall we say then? Here's our text. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth. Uh-oh. Free Will Baptist Church. Nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Hey, that's my business. I am. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Well, then how come he blames me and all of these other hard things, you see? Nay, but he says, nay, no. But, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Boy, who are you to talk back to daddy? You see, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? I would that man would present God as such. Just right there. You know, maybe every Sunday, but for certain, every time you get an influx of people or you get some folks in church, Just read those scriptures and say, that's the God that we worship. And if you don't worship that God, maybe you'd be better off somewhere else. Because he is. He said, I am. You see. It saved a lot of time in false professions. Instead of the God that's perpetrated in men's minds. Why must we reshape a God to suit and appeal to man? In truth, we do in church exactly what I do in marketing commercially, a whiter white. We want God to be a whiter white, you see. A better way, your best life now, right? The charlatan of your best life now, a purpose-driven life. What? And on and on and on it goes. Brighter, whiter, better, bigger, badder. Jesus, blonde hair, blue-eyed, patting little children and sheep on the head. Please show me that in Scripture. I read generation of vipers. That's the Jesus, whited sepulchers, hypocrites. And to his very own apostle, get thee behind me, Satan. To his very own apostle. I read of one overthrowing tables in church. Could you see that? See, you think of it like you're reading it in a book. What if it was down here at the local Baptist church and this guy comes in and starts throwing tables and pews over. Takes that remembrance table up front and tosses that thing across the room and grabs whatever he can find and makes a scourge of whips. Starts running them out. I read of a Christ that's returning in flaming fire and taking vengeance that told me to buy a sword. Excuse me, are we reading the same book? You see, my book's about a sovereign, a potter who has power over the clay. The problem is the clay. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? The problem is the clay. And you know what? Us big clays, we make little clays. Yeah. And we soon find out how little sovereignty we have over them. You just figured it out. His are older. Uh-oh. They immediately start thinking that they too have a little sovereignty. Well, I got a little sovereignty of my own. I got a little independence of my own. Remember that word, independent. And thus, the cycle has repeated itself for 6,000 years. The only answer lies, of course, in the only one true sovereign. And there is only an amount of freedom, or rather liberty, in Christ Jesus. It's the only true liberty we'll ever get this side of heaven. You consider Adam before and after the fall. Just think about Adam. It's easy if you just narrow it down to one guy. Man before the fall had it made. That boy's got it made. He doesn't know it. It's going to get a lot tougher from here on. That really got it made. If you think it's hard raising them now, wait till they get grown. You see. I present to you grace in a world of bondage. Christ Jesus. A Jerusalem above, which is free. Oh, that we might convince them of their complete bondage in this life of sin. That's what I've always said. If I can just get them lost. Because they don't know. They don't know they're in bondage. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. They don't know. Those people, they don't know. You see? And what they, you know what? We make them religious and we never tell them that they can be free from the power of sin. Lord have mercy. That's what he came to save us from. That's why I'm in bondage. That's why Adam was in bondage. That's why he's like he is. We all were. That we can be free from the power. Now you consider that. It takes Christ's atonement to a whole new level. Wow! Not just, what happened to you today, darling? Oh, I got saved. No! I got free from the power of sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? But you're not in the flesh. I got free of that thing. This flesh no longer rules me. But in the spirit. And you know what I like? You go to that verse, Romans 8 and 9, and that spirit's a capital S. I'm not in the flesh, but I'm in the capital S spirit. If so be that the capital S spirit of God dwell in you. What spirit is that? You better think about it. It's the only freedom or liberty or independence you'll ever know in this life. So, is there unrighteousness with God? Nay, no. Only with me. Did he make me this way? No. He allowed me to go into a far country. He gave me my inheritance and he allowed, I wanted it, I wanted to be free. And he allowed me to go into a far country that I might come to myself and then he might have mercy on me. Shall we continue in sin? How may one found in grace even entertain such a thought? Lord, have mercy. Is there unrighteousness with God? No, sir. There can only be righteousness with God. And you, if you're his. Nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against God?